Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction, and free shipping, and that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/acast, and up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/acast.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Wait, are you gaming? On a Chromebook?
Yep. It's got a high-res 120Hz display, plus this killer RGB keyboard. And I can access thousands of games anytime, anywhere.
Stop playing.
What?
Get out of here.
Huh?
Yeah, I want you to stop playing and get out of here so I can game on that Chromebook.
Got it.
Go ahead, break it down, really. Discover the ultimate cloud gaming machine, a new kind of Chromebook.
Feel the thrill of the chase. Discover new and powerful weapons. And control the destinies of America's leading morons.
Whoa.
Two morons, three different games. The Beavis and Butthead video game for Genesis, Game Gear, and Super NES.
Hey, all, what are you doing? Welcome to Play Retro. That's right, I'm Scott Johnson, your host, and I need teepee for my bunghole and my Genesis.
Oh, and your Genesis, gross. And I'm your other host, Brian Dunaway, and I just played 8 hours of Frog Baseball. Frog Baseball! And I still don't have Guar tickets. I'll set the building on fire. Fire.
Fire. Fire!
Fire, fire. Fryer, fryer.
You guys at home, people at home are going, whoa, they're doing Beavis and Butthead. What the hell happened to my retro show?
Yeah, well, this time we're turning the tables. Instead of Beavis and Butthead do something, it's going to be Scott and Brian do Beavis and Butthead.
Yeah, And then it does the rest of you at the same time or something. As you all know, they just had a hit movie come to Paramount Plus. It did real well, and I saw it and really enjoyed it. There are going to be a decent size of our audience that have no love for the old Beavis and Butthead stuff. Or Mike Judge's early work. I don't know, but I guess we'll find out when we get emails next week. But we thought, since there's also a new series debuting, which is already out and up to 3 episodes, I think.
There's 2 episodes. Two. Randy told me there was a third. He's a liar.
I thought there was a third as well, so I must also be a liar.
I don't know. Is it today? Today at 6 p.m. Eastern Time, 8/9/2022. There's only 2 episodes for me on the Paramount Plus service, but I don't know. Whatever.
You must be right. I'm behind one then, not two, because I've only seen the first one, which is the escape room episode, and it's great. By the way,
one is so really funny, freaking good.
It's really good. They haven't skipped a beat. These guys, they haven't skipped a beat. They walked right into 2022 and are still funny. If you like it, Brian and I were having this whole conversation before the show about you either like it or you don't. It's like root beer was his point. You either like root beer or you don't. You know, there's not a lot of middle ground on things like Beavis and Butthead, but they did have an impact on, you know, Genesis, Super NES, PC, kind of
the
that era.
'90s.
Yeah, the '90s were a big deal, and they had a bunch of video games. So we're going to talk about those, but also kind of in ancillary ways, other tie-ins like them. What succeeded, what didn't, you know, just kind of look at the landscape of that time a little bit.
Yeah, Viacom was doing some things. You may know those guys, Paramount Plus. They were doing some video games. Some were okay. Some were not so okay.
Yeah, some were bad. A couple of them were pretty good, though. One in particular. Yeah,
don't worry. We did our last Beavis and Butthead impressions at the top of the show. Everything else is going to be Mike Judge.
Oh, yeah, approved. You're not going to hear us. Some of it's Mike Judge. Some of it might be stand-ins because I did some recording and, oh boy, some of these.
Yeah, some of it was Mike Judge. I was kind of shocked.
Wait till you hear the Game Gear voice samples. Oh, my Lord.
Oh, I did. I did hear the Game Gear. I actually played a good bit of that one.
I did, too. It's actually not bad.
It's dumb that it's fun.
It's dumb, but it plays tight. It's nice and tight.
Yeah.
We'll get to all that coming up. Before that, a couple of quick things. Both Brian and I got our little tiny Dilberts. Not Dilberts, Q-berts.
I'm touching my Dilbert right now in honor of Beavis and Butthead.
Where is mine? Oh, I left it upstairs.
Boom. There mine's right there on the screen, baby. Just like that. Miss Pac-Man, you showed us last week. This is the micro arcade Q-bert. These people don't give us any money. We just saw it on the Amazon. I think this was like $12.99. And I like it and appreciate it. Like Scott said last week, about credit card size, but thicker than that. And just, you know,
it's like three Q-bert. Credit cards it's, stacked if you had to.
Yeah. Play. I mean, Q-bert just, he just had move buttons. He didn't, you know, so you got your tokens and your start button mm-hmm. over here. And then you just got your movement, right? That's mm-hmm. all you need. The little D-pad, like you said, watch face about the same size as my Apple Watch. Mm-hmm. Was it like a 7 or something I have on? So the screen size is about that size. Yeah. Not nearly as clear, but you know, hey, why not? It's a Q-bert and it's purple. It looks, that back of it just looks sexy right there. Just having that alone. Yeah. I want to get my phone like tattooed with that or something.
Yeah, having a cool purple back like that, like the matte finish, that would be cool.
Yeah, that looks good.
But anyway, mine got in as well. I just left it upstairs, but I've already taken mine out of the packages, charged them, and played them both. Brian's Mr. Mint in Box over there.
I didn't see any reason because you could fully access all the buttons. It was already fully charged.
Yeah.
So I was just like, play it through here. And I played it exactly as much as I thought I would play a Q-bert just a credit card size.
Yeah, I needed readers for both of these. They're pretty tiny, little tiny sprites. Kind of hard to see mm-hmm. what's going on, but I love them for what they are. So
I think it's Q-bert.
It's definitely Q-bert. In fact, I think it's a more representative Q-bert than this is of Pac-Man. This is fine, but it's a little on the choppy side. It feels a little Game & Watch in terms of graphics and stuff, whereas the Q-bert actually moves and feels like Q-bert. So,
The character size on Miss Pac-Man is much smaller, and those dots are much smaller than Q-bert. Q-bert's actually, he takes up a little bit more room of the screen. Yeah. You know, it's got that pyramid to jump around on. We got to get a Q-bert episode going on one day. I want to know what they were thinking with that little foul mouth Gonzo
looking short ball face thing.
Yeah.
It's like a Muppet ball with a trunk.
Yeah.
It looks a little bit,
I guess he's an alien cause he jumps and then he says bad words when the coiled snakes hit him and stuff.
He goes, and he looks like Birdo, from Super Mario Brothers 2. Yeah. Like that Birdo egg chucking Birdo.
Yeah. Yeah. Birdo, not Birto.
No. Birdo, by the way, worst character in the history of Mario. Can't stand Birdo. Worst.
So he's your what is that stupid thing we played the other week that was the Mega Man with the stupid the stupid fart knocker. He's a blob, he's cross-eyed and he's from the void and
I forgot the name. It's some
grease
name.
Spot.
Grease spot, was that it? No, it's something else. But it was bad. You're like not that. Wrong. Q-bert. I have fond feelings for Q-bert. We will probably need to talk about Q-bert at length at some point.
In that little rainbow disc you rode on, back up to the top so you could say, suck it, you stupid snakes.
Yeah, I still find that gameplay super addictive. Something about
very
it.
Good.
And it's kind of just pseudo 3D Pac-Man in that you're not eating things, but you have to turn all these platforms to colors and you avoid creatures while you do it. And
later levels, you have to turn them multiple times. Yeah. It's a pretty good game loop, Q-bert.
Yeah, something about it I really like. So we'll do Q-bert one day. You guys, don't worry.
We'll Q-bert it.
Also, a couple quick things. If you're a fan of the Sega Outrun games, which we talked about in passing, but never a full show on yet. Anyway, or did we? Did we do Outrun? No.
We have not done Outrun. I think I suggested one week, but we had some other hot thing that came up and we're going to have to head back to it. But
we will get back to Outrun. Outrun's awesome. Yeah. So Outrun in both arcade and home forms, and especially the PSP game called Outrun 2003, mm-hmm. Amazing games. Well, I'm always on the hunt for something that makes me feel like those games did.
Right.
And there's a game that's been out for a year or two now, but is just now kind of, I don't know, getting attention. And it's a game that was built to be like those, or to feel like those, but also look nice on new and modern systems.
Right. Just looks
but not all sexy. Pixely and whatever, you know, they wanted to go for something that seemed sort of new. But it plays like those old games, which is really what I was looking for, is that kind of feeling of the, of those games. And the game is called, and some of you may have heard of it, it's called Horizon Chase. Yes. And I'm going to put it, I'll do a quick video.
I love this game. I am so glad you brought it up. I love the fact that it's on sale on Steam, you said, I think.
Yeah, it is. It's on sale on Steam for $5. It's available on the Switch. It's on Xbox, PlayStation. Everybody's got it. Started out on iOS, funny enough, or on mobile.
Oh, I didn't know that.
As a thing, yep. And did pretty well there. And moved out to these other consoles, which I think is where they're going to shine the most because, you know, controllers and stuff. Anyway, I've been holding off on buying it for my Steam Deck because I'm just like, I don't want to spend $19 again because I own it in three places. Like, why would I buy it again for full price? And then sure enough, the day after I'm thinking about that, this thing goes on sale for $5 on Steam. And I'm like, well, that's where I want it because I want to put it on my Steam Deck.
Yeah.
And so I immediately paid for it, downloaded it. It's part of my life now, and I just want to recommend it. It's great. If you miss those kinds of racers, you know, arcade, there's a clock running, although not always. Sometimes there's different modes. So there's some that feel just like Outrun where you're racing a clock. Yeah. And there's some where you're doing more traditional, like modern racing stuff. You got to pick up fuel canisters or else you're going to run out of gas on the third lap or something. Cool cars, neat graphics, just a rad little game. So pick
it up. You know what in fuel pickups looks like? You know what? Yep. I love Pole Position so much back in the day when I was a kid, but that's a really hard game to play now. Mm-hmm. It is really hard to go back and find joy in the Pole Position.
Oh, yeah. Pole Position's rough. I mean, I see it as a really important game, you know, landmark game.
Super important. Love the cartoon. But man, just the gameplay of it kind of reminds me that this is just barely one step away from those little tabletop games with the band that runs over and over again like a paper towel in a men's bathroom where it's just the same track and you just like have a little steering wheel and you make your little guy go left and right.
Yeah.
Kind of not far from there. What's that stupid thing called? You know what I'm talking about, right? Those old tabletop hardware pieces of crap.
I don't know what they're called, but I know what you mean.
You were like racing with like Etch-a-Sketch kind of thing, almost weird looking thing. Yeah.
Just, I don't know what those are called. Weird. What were those called? I guess they were just kinetic parlor game type things. Like,
yeah, I don't know. They were both fascinated me before I really got into the video games. But also about 5 seconds later, you're like, wow, this is trash.
Yeah. It's been bad trash. They're not great.
Trash.
So you're not wrong. This also features turbo stuff. The wipeouts are just like, I mean, they really just lifted this from people like about Outrun.
It's so smooth and what do you call it? Cell shading?
Yeah, it's all cell shaded, I guess. I guess it is. Yeah. I guess you call that cell shading.
The effects are definitely cell shaded types, but
it's neat though. It's really neat. And like I said, that price is hard to beat. It's just some kind of flash sale they're having right now. So normally $20. Go grab it.
Horizon Chase Turbo. Is Turbo also in the name?
Or I believe so. Horizon Chase Turbo is correct.
Yeah.
And they've got DLC. They've got, I think the pack on Steam just comes with everything. I'm not sure.
Right.
Anyway, worth getting, especially at $5. It's stupid cheap.
Yeah.
And then when's the last thing? Oh, I started, I don't know why I did this. I was hunting down games for the Steam Deck that I haven't touched in a while or have never played and just wanted to see what's out there. I'm like, well, I never did play this. Why? I don't know, but let's see how it is on the Steam Deck. So I've been downloading a lot of those games, having a really fun time kind of making a list of what I think is cool for that device. And, you know, we did a whole show on DuckTales. Remember that?
Capcom DuckTales business.
I completely forgotten. We talked about it on the show, but not deep. But we, you know, I sort of had forgotten that they had this remake or remaster that they made in like 2012, 2013.
Yeah.
Called DuckTales Remaster, I think, or Remastered.
I think it's got Remaster. I think you're right.
And it's got voice actors from the show all doing their parts. It's, you know, modern graphics and all of that. And I thought, well, I never did fire this up and try this. Let's just see how this is.
Oh, did you do it? Did you fire it up?
I did. I already had the game. I don't know when I got it, but probably a code.
Was it root beer or not root beer? What'd you think?
Well, I hate root beer, so it was not root beer. It's good. I liked it. I liked it a lot. You know why? Because the original game is Balls Hard, which we talked about.
Yeah. Yeah.
And the reason that I get so frustrated with that game is it's just too unforgiving. Like, I actually want to enjoy myself, and I feel like I'm dying every 4 seconds. I got to start everything over all the time. This game features like 3 difficulty levels, and one of them is checkpoint revival, basically. Right. And that's fine with me. I'll play that way. And it's so much more enjoyable not having to worry about redoing everything if you lose your 3 lives.
So you get to uncheck that hurt me plenty.
Yeah,
I gotcha.
That's exactly right. And if you're a fan of the old show, which, you know, I sort of a little younger for me when it came out, so I kind of missed it its first time around. I think it's super charming now, and that new one on Disney Plus is great.
It's so good.
But it was a fun opportunity to play a thing that I admire, the humor and the storytelling, and the fact that this is all voice acted and stuff really didn't hurt. And it feels like a game that just came out. Like, it looks great.
Yeah,
2012 is not that long ago, but I guess
it's almost 10 years, Scott.
I guess it
10 years
literally is 10 years, isn't it?
Yeah. Look at that. I'm with you though. I'm on the other side though. I think it tastes like root beer. It's delicious.
Yeah, that's true. So you liked the root beer.
Yeah.
I liked the Coke Zero flavor unit. I'm trying to say. Hey, so in addition to that, what happened to your C16 CPU? I don't understand. What happened?
Oh, so here's my... spoiler, next week we're going to be looking at some Commodore 64 games. And I thought, well, I better see if I can get that Commodore 16 I have, which was actually released after the Commodore 64. Little faster processor, less memory. I plugged it in, and unfortunately I got the flashing gray screen. And what I looked up to find that out, was that the CPU, which is one of the very common problem on these 16s, is dead. Unfortunately, those are hard to find original pieces, but there are some alternatives out there. So I may tackle that probably not before the next show. But I was very disappointed. I thought it worked the last time I had it plugged in, and it didn't just this time. So bummer. And I've been looking. I thought, well, no big deal. I'll just find me a Commodore 64. And everything, just like everything else, inflation and demand has increased all the prices on the Commodore 64. And I'm just trying to find something reasonable at this point. So we'll just have to wait and see, or I will tackle this, possible replacement for the CPU on this thing. The bad thing about that is, though, not as many games were developed for the Commodore 16. And there's actually a 64, upgrade for the memory on it. But even then you'll run into a lot of problems with gaming and stuff. And that's most of what we do here. I am interested in getting this thing running. Do you have a problem? I have a real problem, Scott. I have a real problem.
With what?
I actually found some Commodore 16s that were reasonably priced that are working right now. And I thought I should just order that, and then I don't have to mess with none of this stuff. And then I'm like, that's not Brian. Brian can't let this. I have a real problem, man. I don't like that I have any electronic in my. I don't like to throw away electronics, and I don't like when they don't work.
Yeah.
I can't just order another C16 and then put this to the side for parts. I just can't do it.
I think I could do, if I was that set on getting a C16, which I'd forgotten existed, to be honest. I forgot they even did that.
Right.
Such weird marketing, right? It's like,
they were trying to fight a market that didn't exist. They were trying to find a cheaper way. But nope, if there was nobody else doing anything cheaper, it was just dumb. Anyway, go ahead.
It was really dumb. But my point is, like, if it were, I think I'm the opposite. If I was for sure going to try to get my C16 game on,
right,
I think I would track one down and then use that for parts. I think I'd be fine with that. But I get it. You haven't this weird attack. I'm not saying it's even bad or it's not a pejorative. You have an attachment to your stuff.
I don't. It's stupid because I was like, why do I feel this way? Does this have sentimental value to me? And I'm like, no, it does not. My dad just gave this to me because he found one in a garage sale one time and he picked up for a few dollars. And me and my dad never even had a Commodore 16 back in the day. We had 64s and VIC 20s and a 128. Mm-hmm. And so that's where our love comes from. And so he was just like, he just gets, hey, whatever, you know, it's like, hey, if you want to get rid of it, whatever, it doesn't matter. I just found it really cheap. And I was like, okay. So there's no sentimental value either. So I just don't understand why I can't stand the idea. I think it all goes back to Star Wars and the droids. I've imbued life into all of these smart electronics.
Yeah.
And I just, it's like, I can't do it.
You can't just replace an R2 unit. You want R2-D2. Like, he's yours.
It's got a bad motivator unit on it. And I can't just, you know.
Take the red one.
I can't just give it to the little druid guys out in the desert.
Yeah. druid guys.
I love calling them the little druid guys. It makes Star Wars fans angry.
Yeah, it's Utini is druid for druid guys. That's the word.
Right, right.
I'm looking at, so there's this video compilation I'm showing in the chat right now, which is 100, where's the title? 100 Commodore 16 games in 10 minutes, and they're just showing them rapid succession. I'm shocked there were 100 of these.
Believe it or not, the CPU in these machines was actually faster than the Commodore 64. Even though you couldn't render hardware-wise sprites, you could render them in by the CPU, and it was actually better looking, actually. It actually was performed better. It was trying to hit a price point of $50, ended up being $100, and they just couldn't move them in the U.S.
Couldn't do it, yeah.
But
oh, my gosh, Summer Games. I forgot that.
Oh, Summer Games is so good. We may talk about that next week. That's been in my list. I've been trying to find things that were, you know, exclusive or primarily known for the Commodore 64, because there's a lot of ports that were, you know, widely spread elsewhere that were bigger sellers.
Yeah, that's a little bit of a hint, everybody. Next week we're doing Commodore 64's top five, and there may be a little
Play
arguing.
Retro's top five.
Yeah, don't Play Retro's. Out. Don't add us, okay? Everything will be fine. All right, Brian. What else? You got a Mr. Snacks. What's that?
Yeah, I got Mr. Snacks. So I got my little Mr. Snacks. So we talk about this from time to time, Mr. FPGA.
Yeah.
This is a little a dongle. Thank you, Tondagosa, for turning me on to this, watching you play all those fun accessories with your Mr. Got Me Turned On. And I'm like, yeah, I need to do that. And so as you can tell here, I got a dongle that is a PlayStation dongle.
You're saying Tondragosa's dongle turned you on? Is that what you're saying?
That's right. It did. Okay. So now I can plug in my PlayStation controller hardware, any of those accessories, and play it on the PlayStation Core that is on here. And it's fun because these things all use HDMI format, I suppose you would call it, but it's not.
It's just data.
And that's how you plug these in. So, yeah. There's other accessories I can buy too, but this is the new Snacks that is on, I believe it's Mr. Add-ons, I believe is where I got it.
I'm a little surprised it's not all Thunderbolt or USB-C, whatever the new spec is for Thunderbolt. I'm surprised.
Yeah, the other side is, of course, USB, so I can plug in for power and stuff.
Oh, right.
So I'm pretty excited about playing with that. So if you're out there and you know of some wicked cool PlayStation accessory other than that dual stick thing, which I'm thinking about getting, let me know. I like to mess around a little bit with some good PlayStation accessories.
Yeah, and sign up for Tondragosa's
accessories.
His unofficial
his Tond Talk.
His OnlyFans where he shows his dongle. This is dongle.com.
You're gonna get a kick out of that.
Yeah. Well, that'll be great. All right.
Tond Dongle.
We are now ready to dig deep into the 90s phenomenon that was Beavis and Butthead gaming. As weird as it sounds, there's a lot here, so stick around. Here it is.
Shall we play a game?
Sure, let's start with the Genesis. So there are three specific tie-in games based on the animated television series Beavis and Butthead, which, by the way, is having a bit of a resurgence, so we thought it'd be fun to tackle it here on the show. These were released and published by Viacom New Media in 1994, Super Nintendo, Genesis/Mega Drive, and the Game Gear. There was also a Game Boy version that would come out later, right?
Yeah, like 98.
Yeah, which right. is
and it was
so
not,
weird.
Was not attached. Those first three that you mentioned were all tied in together with the same basic storyline, same basic settings, and some of the same weapons and things, but totally different radically games. Different gameplay.
Yeah, they're very different games. It's so weird to me because this happened a lot. We haven't really got into this much in previous episodes, but like Disney's Aladdin, which was very popular on the Genesis, and that was the kind of the version du jour at the time, was part of the reason it liked more is it was just a better game than the SNES one. You'd say, well, why? Was it slower? Did it look as good? No, it's a different game. It's a totally different game. And that was a thing they did. Like even in our NHL 94 episode, I think we talked about this a little bit, the Genesis versions and the SNES versions weren't always just ports. They were sometimes just from the ground up, someone else did it.
Yeah, different developers. We had three different developers on these three different titles, and each one of them had their own little take on how to do it.
Yeah,
and
so
they did just that.
First one I'm going to play a little sound from is the Genesis version of the game, which was called Beavis and Butthead. Came out in 1994, a notable year for me because that was the year my oldest daughter was born, which sounds insanely long ago now. Oh, you have it there? Look at you. He's got the box. People at home, yeah, Brian has the box.
I've got the original Genesis version of the Beavis and Butthead, the cart. I play a little bit, and it actually goes to show you how different the real experience is, because when I was playing this on the real hardware versus the RetroArch emulation, believe it or not, this game requires a little bit of speed.
Yeah.
A little bit of speed sometimes.
Yeah, it takes a little bit of stuff. Anyway, here's what that sounded like, and you're... Boy, howdy, you're going to hear a difference between this and the SNES version of the game, but...
Oh, yeah.
Here you go.
Pull my finger. No way. Come on, Beavis. Pull it.
Okay.
That was cool.
And then this bit. This version is a little more metal than this Super NES.
It is.
But the Super NES version of that intro is like... I don't know. Kind of.
It's jaunty. It sounds like the Nintendo. It sounds like I don't know if any Japanese developers were involved. It was created by Real Time Associates, who did the Real Monster games.
Yeah.
And it felt a lot more. It didn't feel as metal to me, the music, even though the SNES. Far superior audio.
Oh, way superior. Far. You'll hear it in a minute. It's so much better than this. But here's the basic story of this game. They had GWAR tickets.
Yes, they did. GWAR 1994, baby. Had to have some GWAR tickets.
And they got shredded. I don't want to spoil anything, but they need to go find all the pieces, put them together so they can still go to the GWAR concert. Now, you might say, oh, cool. They got some, GWARs using their name in here, and that's fine. But one thing I noticed right out of the gate, and this is true of most of these games, gone are the Metallica and gone are the AC/DC shirts that these two are famous for wearing. Instead, one is called Skulls. And the other one is
Hard Rock.
Hard Rock or something like that.
Is it Hard Rock or something like that? Yeah.
It's so lame.
It made me sad.
It made me sad too. I get it. You'd have to give rights to use that stuff in a game form, and you'd have to pay Metallica and AC/DC a bunch of royalties. I don't know what that arrangement is with the cartoon, because they definitely keep using that stuff now.
Even today, they still keep that.
Yeah, they're still using the same shirts in 2022. But anyway, that was pretty interesting. Now, what's great about the Genesis version, at least I thought, it was an interesting hybrid of action and point and click sort of adventure puzzle stuff.
Right.
And to me, that was unique at the time for a game like this. I played this game back in the day, the one that you own there. And they have a bunch of real clips, voice clips, although horribly rendered, but still there. lots of places.
Mike Judge doing all that audio work, right?
Yeah, they got Mike Judge in studio to record a bunch of stuff. Yeah. Some of it they probably could take from B-roll and, do whatever they need to do. But you could do two-player co-op, basically.
Yeah,
I never did that. Did single player the whole time. And when you do single player, you pick Beavis or Butthead. Maybe it's just Butthead, and Beavis follows you the whole time, right?
You can switch between them. I think, and this is where it gets confusing and frustrating for the Sega Genesis. It's the on different screens and in different situations. You only had the ABC button. This is 94. And so you only had the ABC button and the start button and the D-pad. Yep. And so sometimes you're doing something and you press one button and you're expecting a result. And other times you get something else. But you can't switch between Beavis and Butthead if you're playing by yourself.
Yeah, for sure.
Which is important, because there's life bars for both those guys. And if either one of them dies, you're dead. But the character you're controlling is probably going to get the lion's share of the damage. So you can swap between the two when one gets low.
Yeah, and the game, for fans of the cartoon, featured locations and played, like right now we're watching them at their place of work where they worked at whatever the name of that burger place.
What's Burger World.
Burger World. And they're in there working it, being terrible, and the customer's pissed and all that. But you got this weird like inventory system where it's like, oh, I have French fries in my inventory. Yeah. I will drop it here and this guy will get his fries. Now I've passed this, you know, this thing. I've gotten money, whatever. Oh, he's going to puke.
Don't forget. This is how you get one of the first tickets you get. You find it in the dumpster behind the Burger World. You find a rat. You stick it in there with the fries because this angry customer wants some food.
Yeah.
You give it to him. He throws up. Guess what you found? Part of the Guar tickets that Mr. Anderson ripped up.
Yep.
Yeah.
It's because it was part of the rat or whatever.
Yeah.
And the game kind of plays like that. It's fine. It's an okay time. I think it plays a little stiff and awkward now. It's kind of hard to, I don't know. It's hard to explain. It's just doesn't, it's not great now.
It's,
okay.
It's ganky is what I would call it. It feels undercooked. And I found out this week, it probably was undercooked. Those guys over there who did the Genesis version, which would have been Radical Entertainment, were very excited, first of all, that they were looking for something a little bit more detailed than what they thought they were going to do. MTV was excited. Tell you who wasn't excited, Radical Entertainment, the upper guys. They didn't want it. They were like, no, this is dumb. We should have done something simple. If you go even $1 over budget, you're fired.
So
it got hamstringed right out of the gate with, you know, you're only going to be able to do so much.
So on the one hand, it's like, hey, a license we can be creative with. And on the other hand, they're like, be creative, but be cheap creative. Okay.
Yeah. Your heroes over here with MTV and Mike Judge getting involved and everything else. You're like, this is so cutting edge. It's so hot. But then the management is going, hey. Keep it down, fellas.
Hey, that's my best fat Albert Island you'll ever hear.
Hey.
Next up, we got the Game Gear version came out the same year, and I would just like you to listen carefully to the differences in audio quality. All right. So Genesis starts like this.
Pull my finger.
Okay, they kind of sound like, you know, they're fine. They're a little crusty. A little. Check out Game Gear, dude. All right, give it a sec here. You got to hear this.
It's actually pretty impressive.
Look, 8-bit systems were capable of some interesting stuff, and I think that's fine for what it is.
That's new FX doing that stuff. Those guys made that Crew Ball that I didn't know anything about. You said you'd play before with a Motley Crue pinball. Oh, I was Motley like, Crue what? Pinball. There's a Motley Crue pinball?
Yeah, that game's great. Nothing wrong with Motley Crue pinball. When we do our favorite pinball games of the century or whatever, we got to do We got to do that.
It's got Motley Crue songs in it.
Yeah. I mean, it's not
in a digital format.
I will say it's not the greatest pinball machine or pinball video game ever made, but it's fun and has the stupid metal attitude and, you know, is over the top. And so I can see why you would hire these guys for that. I think there's nothing wrong with that. Now, listen to this voice sample, though, from the Game Gear that just I still don't even know what they said. So listen to this. Okay, I heard whoa. All right.
Yeah, so whoa I called. Butthead said whoa, but I couldn't hear what Beavis
Let's
said.
Let's try it one more time. Check out Beavis again. Yeah,
that's
cool.
That's awesome. That's awesome, maybe.
Yeah, cool, or something like that.
Yeah.
Let me try it one time.
It's cool. It doesn't suck.
I think it's yeah, cool.
Might be.
Oh, it's so
bad. It might
be
yeah, cool.
Chat room says jackpot. No, that's not what he says. Anyway, that was your Game Gear game. But
it was so colorful, and it was a simplified version. I mean, it was just, you know, left to right scrolling, avoid creatures that are both at your feet and your head.
Yeah.
Pick up money as you go along. Every time you get hit, you get a little cut scene where they make some kind of little quip. It's terrible, but the animations are hilarious, and, you know, the artwork actually looks like Beavis and Butthead. I was actually pretty impressed with the Game Gear game
does,
for what it was.
It does until they show their heads up close. Beavis is wrong. It does not look right.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's, yeah.
But Butthead's fine. Beavis looks wrong. Like right here, he looks fine. Them side-scrolling. Yeah. Actually, Beavis looks good side-scrolling. I think Butthead looks wrong side-scrolling. He's too weird on the profile. Like, look at that flat head, foot-looking face. But if you do the whole, like right here where they show them, you know, their up close faces in portrait mode, Beavis is broken.
Right.
That looks wrong.
Yeah. Yeah. All those birds dropping the eggs.
Yeah.
Oh, if you've ever played this Game Gear one, be prepared to be both entertained and annoyed, which is probably the best description for all of these versions, no matter how you look at it. They all have annoyances, but they all have some little bit of value to them, too. They all did pretty good job at conveying Beavis and Butthead. They all felt you know, real true and genuine to the characters and the locations.
Yeah,
and
this was the harder game, too, I think. This is the more difficult of the three of the three of that era.
Right.
I think this game was the hardest to play, but
I think
I don't mean broken reaction. Hard. I mean like actually difficult. Like
I think as far as action goes, timing and action, I think this is the hardest one. The puzzle elements and the gankiness of the Genesis made it extremely difficult at points and frustrating. And the SNES was a much easier experience.
Oh, no doubt.
Across the board, just much easier.
Sometimes that makes me wonder if Nintendo like says, look, if you're going to put it on our platform, you got to dumb it down some.
Yeah, you got it. And you would think so, right? The look where they were targeting. Originally, they wanted to go with the Genesis because the Genesis crowd was the ones who were watching Beavis and Butthead. Not that the SNES crowd wasn't watching it, but it tended to skew a little bit younger. No,
it's perfect for Sega. Sega was all about the, you know, we're edgy now and we do edgy
things. Yeah, we're the post preteens. We're full on teens and up to, you know, up to the man child. So
it worked for them. Anybody else watch that? Did you watch that documentary I told you to watch? The damn it. What's it called?
I love the damn it.
Sega. Anyway, it's on Paramount Plus.
Console Wars? Are you talking about?
It's not Console Wars, but it's like that. And it's all about Sega and their competition with Nintendo during the late part of the NES years and then through the Genesis years and just kind of how the stuff went. It's freaking great. Highly recommend it. And I just got Paramount Plus. I'm actually a little surprised it's as good as it is. It's pretty good.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Did I watch that? I think I did watch some.
Maybe you did.
I've had so much of that information pumped in my head over the years. I can't recall.
Yeah. It's hard to say. All right. Now we're going to talk a little bit about this one.
This is going to be cool.
All right. So as you can tell, Super Nintendo had a little bit of a better audio chip.
A lot better. Father of PlayStation.
I'm not sure I like the music as much. But I think I like the voice.
It's metal. Yeah. Like you said earlier, the Genesis version felt metal. This feels a little more upbeat. I don't know.
Yeah. You also spent a lot of time in the school in this one, was my memory.
Oh, I hated it because the skateboarders. What is that? What's the guy's? What's the bully's name? He's not even a bully. He's like already graduated.
He's that old guy.
What's he even doing there?
He's the old guy that keeps showing up. He reminds me of the McConaughey's character in Dazed and Confused, where he's still showing up at the high school and dating girls and stuff. I can't think of his name though.
Turd. You got to join his gang in the in the virtual stupidity. What is his stupid name? I can't
don't
remember
know.
Anyway. Todd says keep a 30. Thank you, Todd.
Yeah, and they all thought Beavis and Butthead think Todd's cool and they want to be like Todd. And the truth of that is don't ever be like Todd. Todd's the freaking worst. Oh.
Todd's the worst.
Yeah, he's bad. Nobody who's graduated and has a mustache should come back to high school to do anything unless you work there. Okay, that's just
unless
the rule.
He's doing janitorial duties. Now, on the SNES, unlike the Genesis, where you have to earn your weapons, except for your farts and your burps. We didn't talk about that. There's no farts and burps in this one. You have unlimited farts and burps in the Genesis version.
Yeah,
you do. You get the bat with the baseball glove on it. Did you watch that episode? The one where they're watching American Gladiators?
Yeah.
Remember that show, right?
Oh, yeah. Totally remember all that. Yeah. I love that episode. Are you kidding?
Yeah, it's a great episode. You know, they're all enthralled with the fact that this, you know, they're seeing lady gladiator butts. And so they go outside and they make their own gladiator out of bats and boxing gloves. So this is the kind of stuff you'd get in all these Beavis and Butthead games. Huge nods to just all the different games. They could have just put anything in there, right? They could have done like they did with Lisa in the Simpsons game. What, they didn't give her a saxophone. They gave her something stupid. What was it? It was like a jump rope or something.
Yeah, totally.
It was lame.
It was
lame. Here we got, it was something pretty cool.
It's so one thing I wanted to say about the new show, just so people could get into this. The old show, when they would do a chunk of story and then they would have a break.
Yes.
And in that break, they would commentate on MTV videos, actual music videos.
Yes,
they were always
yes.
very funny. Well, I wondered, I'm like, well, what are they going to do with the new one? They're not going to do videos. That seems dumb. Maybe they just won't do it. They'll just skip past it. And like they did with the DVD release, they'll just not have it.
Yeah.
And then they did the thing I did not expect, but now that I know they've done it, it's perfect.
Right.
Because the movie moves them from the 90s into 2022. They actually time travel.
Yes.
So they're straight up Beavis and Butthead out of the 90s, but they now live in our time. And they don't make too big of a deal out of it. It's just the truth. That's just where they live now. And so instead of music videos, they watch YouTube channel or YouTube videos and react to them while they're on the couch. And it's perfect.
Logical.
It's perfect.
Perfect.
It's what and you I'm, would do if YouTube was back in the 90s, you would have done that.
Yeah.
You know?
I'm actually curious because in the original run, by the way, the Beavis and Butthead cartoon ran from like 92 to what, like 97 or 8 or so. And then they took a break. And then 2011, they came back with an additional season. And now they're on their ninth season, I believe.
Something like
anyway,
that.
In the original ones, Mike Judge pretty much wrote all of the commentary parts. That was not done by a committee. He did all of that on his own. So I'm curious to know if that's, you know, because it always made it elevated a little bit. Mike Judge is a hilarious guy.
He seems to be into it. The interview I heard not long ago about this resurgence or this new thing plus movie was how excited he was that this was all coming back, because it's like getting back to his roots. There's a simplicity to it. He loved doing it when it was a thing. That King of the Hill are like his favorite years. And, you know, even though he went on to make a bunch of movies everyone loves and made that series for HBO, it's called Silicon Valley.
Yeah, Silicon Valley.
Yep, did all this amazing work. Getting back to do this is like, it's clearly a labor of love for him. So I wouldn't be surprised to hear that he writes all that stuff too. Wouldn't shock
me. I think this is, you know, very natural for him. He's like I said, he's I think he's hilarious. Now, of course, with the delivery of it, it may not be everybody's cup of tea,
no.
You know, because it really is a couple of, you know, hormone ridden teenage boys who are, you know, never grow up.
There's
and so,
morons.
Yeah, that could totally be annoying. I mean, he's got these annoying voices that he does, but the commentary is pretty good, especially if you're looking at it through the lens of a couple of little perverts, right?
Yeah, you basically nailed it. And once again, we would say, I know there are people out there who have zero interest in Beavis and Butthead, but you just happen to catch Brian and Scott, who happen to be super fans of Beavis and Butthead.
Yes.
We like this stuff a lot. Huge fan. I could watch it right now and be perfectly happy the rest of the night. There are going to be people out there that never want to see it ever again. I get it.
Yeah.
I get
it. I'm telling you this. I think that if you watch the current season, and it may be the only episode you may be able to stomach watching, but is really interesting, Beavis in the second episode of this season encounters fire. And it is really different, and it is really smart, and it feels very modern. And I think that if you watch that one, I think you might go, okay, maybe I see some of where this is. Speaking of which, there was a whole time when Beavis and Butthead got in trouble. And, you know, Beavis has this fascination with fire.
Yeah.
And then there was that tragedy that happened with that five-year-old who ended up burning his 2-year-old sister in that fire during the initial run of Beavis and Butthead. Mm-hmm. And for a long time, Beavis couldn't even say fire. He had to say stuff like fryer. And he was messing with the fryer at Burger World.
Yeah.
All that stuff's behind us now. They can, you know, do it. You know, what was really going on back then? I don't know. Tragic story that the kid died, but I don't think it was, you know, certainly don't think it was part of, you know, I don't think Beavis and Butthead told them to do it, but it is interesting in that episode to watch how everything goes down.
Yeah.
I'm just saying it's real interesting.
Real quick, the little side conversation happening in the chat about how their version of YouTube in the 90s would have been animated GIFs. I would argue that is not true. Even though the animated GIF was invented in 1987, that's true.
Right. It'd be WMVs that you would have ripped off a CD.
I'm not even sure then you'd have that. Like, we're talking 87. You're probably, thing was invented that year, 94.
Oh, in 87. Okay.
Yeah, 94, we didn't have, I mean, you had BBSs and stuff, and they had some GIF stuff on it, but they were huge and took forever to download. Like, I don't buy that.
You would be whipping the llama's ass, all right?
You would be whipping the llama's ass. You're right.
Yeah, because right about this time, we started getting, in addition to a lot of video games, we started getting a lot of, it was almost a game getting screensavers and skins for WinApp. That was just like, it was a game you would play. It's like, ooh, how can I skin this thing? I want to skin the llama's ass. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. I know what you want to do with the llama's ass. I've heard. I've seen. We're now moving on to the best game of the series, okay? That's not even part of the three series thing. This was, where is it? Here it is, the PC version in 1995. The first one, it was called Beavis and Butthead and Virtual Stupidity. Came out on the PlayStation and the PC, although the PlayStation game only happened in Japan, I think?
Right, only happened in Japan. However, there is... Did you get any audio from that? I sent you a video of a little bit of that Japanese Beavis and Butthead dubbing, which is freaking amazing.
Oh, I'll play that.
But there is a fan-based a pack that you can actually put on that PlayStation Japanese-only game so that you'll get Americanized Beavis and Butthead, even though it's not Mike Judge.
Well, I'm going to play a little bit of it. I'll see what happens because I actually have the MAME release here that you gave me as presented on what's it called? Freaking!
They even read. There's even like this great introduction by a Japanese narrator who does like the whole disclaimer at the top of it. It's just amazing.
It's gonna take a minute to download. I'll let it.
Okay. So you're doing it through there. Oh, that's right. That is the one I sent you. This is the one.
I'll let it download. There's probably a video. Actually, you know what? I'll do that instead. Let me look for the video.
Yeah. There's definitely anywhere you look at. Just look up that Beavis and Butthead Virtual Stupidity PlayStation.
It'll probably give you the Japanese Virtual version. Stupidity Japan. All right.
But this is the pinnacle for me for the Beavis and Butthead games.
Let's hear this.
It gets no better than this point and click misadventure.
That's Beavis.
Yeah, love it.
Wait, let's hear the... Okay.
Butthead.
Oh my gosh, dude. I want to play the whole thing in Japanese now.
And you can, because there's really no voice dialogues that give you, they don't give you too much hint, really, in this point and click at misadventure. It's a lot of trial and error, point, click, see what works, see what doesn't work.
Yeah, this is Monkey Island kind of game, for those who are wondering what we're talking about.
Yeah, Monkey Island, that's a great comparison. Yeah. 1995, so that's a good area to be
for sure.
A lot of probably
really
learned as laughing.
So there's actual voice samples. This is all Mike Judge. Yeah. Actually, I have a little better file of it here. Let me play.
And this would be the PC version, because the PC version was released in the
US. That was the English version. Check this out. Yeah.
Let's get started, people.
Hold still, damn it!
Beaver? Yeah. It's dead.
Oh, yeah.
So, like, straight up, you know, Mike Judge voiced, like, Beavis and Butthead stuff. They're not messing around.
And a special guest star by your favorite, Daria. Maybe if you didn't like Beavis and Butthead, you did like flip side.
I love Daria.
Mike Judge loves doing this. He loves doing the... Do you remember that? Was it The Good Family? Because there was a very conservative Hank Hill... but then there was this liberal family that they ran for a couple of seasons. Did you ever see that?
It only ran a single season. Yes, I watched the whole thing.
Right.
It was called The Good Family, and it was good. Yeah, it was good. I think they probably I don't know. I don't know why that didn't last. That one probably had legs, and they just they couldn't work it out. But King of the Hill's, freaking classic.
Any extreme is what Mike Judge likes holding that mirror up to the extremes and going, "Hey, look." Yeah. You're just being ridiculous.
And I love Daria. Daria was a spinoff that he produced, but didn't, wasn't directly writing or directing and whatever. And it was a different animation style and all that. But, Daria was in their class. They had a spinoff show called Daria. Daria was brilliant. I loved it.
Yeah. Very smart.
Yeah, I could go for more of that these days, in fact. But this game I remember being really cool, and I played it on PC back in the day. And what I liked about it was taking one of my favorite genres at the time, which is kind of point and click adventure, and applying it to this stupid premise. Mm-hmm. And it worked. It was fun. You would solve puzzles in really satisfying ways, and you would advance, you know, the story by, you know, trial and error and trying to figure out what goes where and collecting inventory and trying that inventory on stuff like, here's a key, will it work on this lock, that kind of stuff that you're used to from Monkey Island or whatever, Space Quest, those kind of games.
Yeah.
And it's
good.
And
what makes those games work is that you're rewarded even if you don't get it right. Yeah. Even if it's not the answer, you get rewarded with some witty dialogue, or at least, you know, humorous dialogue.
Yeah.
And it works here really well.
I also think the art is great. It's just a step up. It looks like stuff right from the show. There are the beginning is animated and has actual cell animated stuff thrown in there, because again, we're on CDs now, you can do this stuff.
Yeah. And lots of great there's actually I didn't do it, but I heard that you can on the CD there's like a bunch of move files on there, so the movie files of actual production stuff they were doing behind the scenes. I meant to go back and try to find some of those things, but yeah,
I love that.
Like I said, hands down, this is the most satisfying game. It's not just the point and click game. It's broken up in nice little mini games, which you can unlock, and then you can go back and play it just by the mini games. I played this on my Windows XP virtual box, by the way.
Oh, nice.
And it worked pretty good out of the box, believe it or not. And that's not always true. With these things. Sometimes
that's true. I wouldn't mind like a remaster of this. They're probably never going to do it. Maybe the show will be really popular for a comeback and they'll do it. But my favorite thing about it was the pointer, which is often for most of these games, like a finger or a hand or whatever. In this case, it's Butthead's hand. But when it crosses something you can interact with, it turns to like the rocker goat symbol.
Metal fingers, yeah, metal devil fingers. Horns. Yeah. Yes.
It's real stupid. It's great though.
It's real stupid, but I loved it. But you're right. The puzzle solving's, you know, is pretty good, and is satisfying. Is in Hawk and Loogies, that was a lot of fun. That's one of the ways you get out of the school. No spoilers, I don't suppose. But why not? Whatever. This game's from 1995.
Yeah.
This is a retro game show. If you did, you should expect some spoilers.
Yeah, expect some spoilers. That's what we do.
Yeah, but so you have to hawk a loogie, which is the name of the mini game. But you have to be able to do it once it turns green. Now, I think you get a green loogie for every 10 points that you score, which is, you know, if you hit it, you hit what your target is.
Yeah.
Cool. But then you get a green one, yeah. And then that's how you have to hit the principal who's walking back and forth outside the school. So you distract him so that you can get out of the school. Because that's what you're trying to do. You're trying to get, you're trying to help Todd. You're trying to do something with Todd. I think you hear that Todd is doing something, and you're trying to get out and join Todd's gang or something. Yeah. But it's a hoot. It's a ride. Like I said, it is the best game out of all of these, in my opinion.
Yeah, I agree. I would put it, okay, you know those, the fractured butthole?
Yeah.
The South Park things and all that. To me, it's like those are modern versions of this. Different combat and stuff, like the turn based in this fantasy one, and a little less of that in the hero one. But still, you know, made up of actual animated sequences using real voice actors, like really giving love to that part of all this, I think is a big deal. I would play this one again if I could do it easily. I'll have to talk to you later.
I will say this, though. I think I didn't need it, but when I play these games, I played it on stream this week. I always have, you know, people help me out a little bit, especially with these games. We're trying to get through them so we can talk about them. There was some gum that was stuck on the water fountain, and there's no way I would have seen it. There's no way I would have known to click where I clicked, because there's no visual representation of the gum unless you just happen to click on the mouthpiece. And I was like, okay, that's too obtuse. Don't be that obtuse, stupid game. But the rest of it seemed to be pretty straight on.
Those games, I feel like all adventure games have cheap stuff like that. It pisses me off.
Right, stupid gum.
It drives me crazy. Also, I didn't know you said gum, but now I know what you did. Now I know you said gum.
When
originally, look at the chat, they're losing it. It's something we all thought you said something else.
Oh my God, what did I say? I said gum.
Well,
gum.
What rhymes with gum? You said there was some gum stuck to the drinking fountain.
It's not their fault. They're primed to Beavis and Butthead it right now in the chat room. I understand. I actually appreciate that that's what you guys heard.
I also heard it. All right. Now let's talk about the terrible stuff. Just real quick, we'll rip through these. In 90 or 96, it would have been for Windows PC, Windows 95 yes. PC. They had something called Beavis and Butthead Wiener Takes All.
Yes.
And it was kind of a game show thing.
Yeah.
Kind of Jack. You Don't Know Jack is what I think they were trying to compete with.
Yeah. And, yeah. It was Jeopardy. You Don't Know Jack kind
yeah,
of crap.
I think that because that's short. Right around the time you started to see that stuff. Yeah. And it's terrible. I played this. It's not good. And here's the reason. I'll skip ahead so you can see kind of what it looks like. But it's them in front of a TV, and they put up questions, and then you got to answer them. And it's sort of a trivia contest thing, like You Don't Know Jack was originally. And I'm not talking about the more recent Jackbox stuff. I'm talking You Don't Know Jack was its own standalone thing.
You can play up to three players, I think.
But here's the problem. Audio matters a lot. Yeah. And if you're going to have them commentating about the contest or the game show, and the game show is also going to be telling you things, you need to be good at like balancing all that. Right. This is what that sounded like. Okay. It's terrible. Enjoy.
Good Lord. We've got to get those naked teens out of the water before they swim right up into that shark's nest.
Get ready for bodacious babes bouncing down beaches and brutal man-eating sharks in an all-new episode of Beach Patrol.
You can't hear either of them talking over each other. It's horrible.
Yeah. That is terrible. Ugh. Now, I'm actually recognizing. See, I didn't get to play this because I didn't have a way to play Windows 95 game because I went in, I tried to play the Windows 95 on my Windows XP and it said, no, you can't do it. But this, I noticed that this one is the one that someone has recently taken and green screened that screen TV, and people are running all kinds of crazy stuff on YouTube using that kind of memeifying it on YouTube.
Totally fine. I didn't realize they should do that. And the premise is fine. It's just execution's really bad. Like I watched about a half hour of this before I had to turn it off because the whole joke is they're going to give you some questions and have a whole setup, and then Beavis and Butthead are going to commentary on top of that, either while you're picking your answers or whatever. And they chose to have them all at the same volume, all talking at the same time. You can't hear anybody do anything. It's horrendous. Yeah. It's bad.
It's not good. It's not good. It's 1996.
Yeah,
you can have your Beavis and Butthead game back.
Now, if you want to play the Game Boy game, which came out in 99 of all years.
I think it was released in the EU in 98, and then 99 was here.
What were we doing then with Beavis and Butthead? Or not even Beavis and Butthead, but what were we doing with the Game Boy? We still had new Game Boy games in 99? I don't remember that.
That's what I said, too. See, it says 98 there, but I think it's because it was European release first. In the U.S., it was 99. But, yeah, I was the same way. And this didn't even have the Game Boy color support, the Super Game Boy color support and all that stuff. It made me mad.
It's just an ugly – it made me mad, too, because it actually doesn't play very well either. But it's just such a late stage – like, I'm trying to think. 99, didn't we already have a GBA? When the GBA came out.
I know we had the Game Boy Color. We had the Super Game Boy, surely, by that point in time. I don't know where this came from because Beavis and Butthead wasn't even on the air at this time, not in 99.
Okay, like, take it back. It was June 11, 2001 here, so it wasn't quite here.
Really?
But still, like, give it, wait a year. It just seems weird to me.
It seems weird, and it's ugly. It sounds okay. I will say this. I hated it, but I also found it compelling. I couldn't stop playing it. I don't know why. And all it is basically, you know, getting past a bunch of gatekeepers so that you can get out of detention. And you only can play one of the characters at a time, unlike a lot of these other games that allow you to choose between the two, Beavis or Butthead. You start off as Beavis, maybe get to play Butthead later. I don't know how to get that far.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was... just avoiding collisions with the stupid nerds and the jocks was like impossible because this is a Game Boy game. Don't make collisions part of the game mechanic. The screen's so small. I didn't like that part at all.
Yeah,
that should be. They should just have like a big over. It's like no collisions. Game Boy games.
Yep. That's basically it.
None.
And they had a bunch of little, I don't know. I wanted to like this more than I did. I just didn't. I don't like even care. I mean, now in a retro way, it's like, fine, okay, cool, Game Boy game. I'll play that.
Yeah.
But it just, I don't know, this one rang empty for me. Beavis and like Butthead's Bunghole in One on the PC. That was a golf game. That's weird.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Little mini golf game. What about that?
I mean, look, I like mini golf as much as the next guy, but how do you feel about a bung?
Hole in bung?
Hole in bung or whatever. Was that the full Bunghole in One? Sorry, that's it.
Bunghole in One. There you go.
And it was, you know, I think the first 3D game.
Yeah. The course was in 3D, but I think the animations were in 2D. Like they had like an overlay on top of it with like the 2D characters and stuff. Yeah.
This was their big
play. The golf was in 3D.
Yeah, the golf was in 3D, and the characters themselves, you know, you had a selection of like there's Anderson, there's the principal, you got the
Todd.
Now class, listen to my hippie talk guy. I forget his name.
MK.
Yeah, that guy. Not the same as the MK guy from South Park.
South Park. No.
Its own brand of
this MK. Predates South Park by a good bit, but he does just say MK a lot.
Yeah. I didn't play this week in preparation, but I kind of wanted to, and I kind of still do.
I wanted to play it once again. Here we are with another Windows game. This time, 32-bit destroyed my dreams because my XP is 64-bit. Oh. I guess I'm going to have to make another virtual machine. And this is the problem with PC gaming for me a lot of times, retro style. So,
Yeah, that's the thing. People always think it's the most backwards compatible format for most games. And in some cases, I guess that's true. But when you're talking about, you know, retro stuff and playing it in the right environment,
right.
It's tricky.
In a specific time frame. It gets a little tricky.
Yep. It's tricky.
It's tricky to rock a rhyme to rock a rhyme.
Chat room saying that new golf game that Netflix has out on mobile. They have some good games on that Netflix mobile thing. I don't think anyone's playing it, though, which bums me out. Because if you have a Netflix subscription, you just get these games and they play. Like, for example, they put out the patched up enhanced edition of... what's the turn-based mech game that everyone fell in love with by the FTL people? I can't think of the name. To the Brink or Over the Edge or whatever it is. It's an amazing game. I have it on my PC as well. But anyway, that's on there. Like, they're just free, and they don't have any... Into the Breach, that's it. And they don't have any microtransactions. It's all just play. It's like Apple TV or Apple Arcade. Except I'm going to just go ahead and argue that some of what I've played or most of what I've played on the Netflix selection has been better than the Apple Arcade game. So it's pretty good. And if you already have Netflix, you're in. You just have it. And it doesn't run in Netflix. You have to, you go into your Netflix thing, you click it, it goes to the App Store and downloads a game. And as long as you're a Netflix subscriber, it just works. It's great.
I didn't know that. Yeah, I knew none of that.
Yeah, see, this is the problem.
That's how far up the bunghole I've been.
Well, I don't think it's your fault. I think their marketing is bad. I think that they have been really shit poor at telling people. And they've been buying studios and buying IPs, and they've just kind of been bad at letting people know about it. So I don't think it's your fault at all. Anyway, the point is golf. Now,
golf.
You got your Beavis and Butthead. Do you?
Yes.
This is also tried to be a return to form, and I don't think is very good. It's okay.
Something about 1999, man. Something about no more Beavis and Butthead. We were trying to get a fix, maybe. I don't know.
I don't know. But it was another point and clicker. You know, it was all right. Yeah. I just don't think it's Beavis as good.
Yeah, Beavis and Butthead go to college. It's not nearly as much fun as the virtual stupidity. It's okay.
Yeah, it's all right.
But you're trying to get some sign-offs in college. It's a little too much intentionally adult humor. They're basically, even though Beavis and Butthead are not going to college, they're basically feeling out college, and they're more in a college situation. Mm-hmm. It's just classic trying to take your silly characters to the next logical, more adult location.
Yeah, they did that a lot. Though. They did that all the time. I mean, in the last movie, people think they're like genius astronauts.
Yeah.
And all they care about is the machine that lets them put a rocket inside and outside of a thing like a penis. That's all they care about.
I didn't care. I felt like I felt like it was a little too one note on that movie, by the way. I'm not a, I do the universe. It's okay. The new series, fantastic. You can skip.
I thought Do the Universe was awesome. You didn't like it? I loved it.
It's okay. It's kind of one note.
Well,
it's all the things that people complain about Beavis and Butthead.
Yeah. I mean, it's got your teepee for my bunghole. It's got your,
right,
you know, like Do America did. Like they sing all the same songs. And so you're right. But I liked it. I also like it as a pivot point to say we need to bring these guys into the modern era and we need to address things like cell phones and YouTube and just the world that we live in now compared to what, you know, your average adolescent a-hole lived in the 90s.
Yes.
And I think that the movie gave them that pivot because it wouldn't have had, you know, they literally traveled through time and ended up here. So
my favorite part though is smart Beavis and smart Butthead. Other than that, it felt very one note-ish.
Oh, I did like those guys. The alien looking, smartest of all the universes of Beavis. But even they hadn't scored yet. Wasn't that the deal?
Yeah, that was the whole deal. So, yeah. They're always trying to score.
I enjoyed the movie a lot. It was great. Anyway, those are your games. Those are all of them. That's everything. And if you're into seeing Beavis and Butthead without Metallica on their shirts and AC/DC, then I'm telling you, this is time for you to be alive because they wear
Skull
and Death Rock, and it's stupid. But overall, you know, I feel like they made a mark. It was good. In fact, I remember thinking back then when I played that first PC game that was really good, I remember going, well, it'd be cool if Mike Judge made like a full on, King of the Hill point and click game. Yeah. I'd play that.
Yeah. I'd play the crap out of that.
Yeah. Somebody stole all the propane. Help Hank go find it. Whatever.
Yeah. I mean, I was jonesing for a good, like these kind of games, like the point and click stuff and management and all that stuff kind of evolved into like Simpsons Tapped Out. And I was like, oh God, I'd love to have a King of the Hill Tapped Out. And I know they have like, you know, some Fox point and click mini game things too. But yeah, I just wanted more Beavis and Butthead really.
Do you think we'll get them in that Viacom brawler game that's got like SpongeBob and everybody in it? You think
I think they've been still adding some stuff. I think if it continues to do like it's been doing, I think it will. It's still got some buzz around it. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it never quite reached the accolades that The Simpsons did in terms of tie-ins for games.
Right.
But they tried, and I have some respect for that. And I kind of want to play that Super NES game through because it's actually kind of easy, you know?
Oh, yeah.
Just tear through it and say I did it. I don't know. I probably
all I know is that playing the Beavis and Butthead games this past week really took me back to the 90s and allowed me to really just enjoy stupid humor, turn my brain off and not, you know, not have to think about anything. That's what you do. You just turn your brain off. You can turn it back on. I mean, Mike Judge sometimes will give you a little, you know, social satire. And it kind of catches you off guard. That's what the humor is.
Yeah.
It's like it's mostly dumb stuff. And then occasionally something smart will get spit out. And you're like, oh, wait.
Yep.
You just threw me for a loop.
That would happen.
In Frog Baseball.
Exactly. For me, it's about a simpler time. And as dumb as it is, juvenile as it is, it represents a period of my life where I was just chilled out, man.
And when we talk about simpler time, we understand that going back in time doesn't make things simpler. Going back to a time when we didn't have any responsibilities in our memories, that's different.
Definitely.
We didn't have as many responsibilities, and it was a simpler time because there wasn't as many things that were on our shoulders.
Yeah, I know there's always dark shit going on, but we weren't like fully functioning adults.
Society was having a hard time. Yeah. It's got not so much.
Yeah. Brian and I. Yeah.
We were children.
We didn't care. We were watching Beavis and Butthead and we were enjoying
it. We had no responsibilities. We had no money to affect change. We were nobody.
I got married in 92, had Taylor in 94, you'd say, oh no, Scott, you were a fully functioning adult. No, as a 25-year-old dumbass. No,
I was a man child.
I was a man child. No doubt.
Yeah.
No doubt.
Yeah, the infantilization of the American children, as it was.
Yep.
We eventually grew up.
We did.
Mostly.
Yeah. Much to my chagrin. whatever. We're still doing the show. I guess that's good. All right. We're going to play Guess My Game now. This is not my game, our game. And I'm going to start with me after I play this little intro for it right here.
Destroy it.
I play an audio clip. Brian tries to guess what game it is. We give some clues. We see how we do. He does the same to me after that. Let's get this started. Brian, I'm going to play a clip for you.
Yeah, I do the same to you.
The year is 2001. All right. So still within our little territory of retro, you know, right there.
Yeah. 2001. That's still in the retro because it could be a Game Boy Advance game or a Game Boy Color. I mean, retro is that?
That's retro as hell. So here it is. Check it out.
Dreamland.
Jeopardy.
Not Jeopardy. I'll give you a hint. This is a GBA game.
Like a GBA game.
Made just for the GBA. It's going to give it away now.
It sounds like a Mario of some sort. Oh. Wow, that sounds like a Sonic game.
Well, you might be right. What do you think? What do you think this is?
Sonic Advanced.
You got it. Yeah, you totally got it. It's Sonic Advance. They made three of them. It's Sonic Advance 1, 2, and 3. They were Nintendo Game Boy Advance exclusives. I don't think they've been anywhere else, like in a compilation or anything, as far as I know. And they were good. They were good Sonic games. They were a good time. I liked them.
Yeah,
I bought all three.
You can't hide that collection. If I could hear ring collects and coins collects, and you could pretty much.
Yeah. Him spinning, like, you're screwed. I knew I was going to be screwed on this one. So there's an easy one for you. Let's see how
now
hard
I feel
yours is.
Bad because I picked a really hard one. At least for me, I was like, I don't remember this at all. And so, yeah, this is, I apologize.
In advance. All right. Well, let's find. Oh, that's funny. In advance. Get it. Advance.
Yeah. In advance. There you go. 1993.
Yeah.
This was also a Radical Entertainment for the NES.
Oh, okay. NES. We're going back. Here it is.
This is actually for the SNES version.
Oh, really?
Is where I think the music is from.
It sounds like NES to me.
It might be. I think it was NES, actually. Yeah, that was NES.
Unless they just did a straight port and didn't worry about music.
No.
Give me another hint.
Let's see. This is...
platformer?
It's an educational game.
Oh.
They also had a Macintosh version in 1994.
This isn't that Mario. Mario, they did a series of Mario education titles. What is this called?
I never played this, but it sounds like you may have at least heard it.
Oh, I saw it, but I never played it. This is going to bug me.
I'll tell you what. You don't play as Mario.
No, that's true. Because Mario's, like, there to teach you and stuff.
Actually,
it's not Mario teaches typing.
Mario's not anywhere to be found.
Oh, really? Nintendo teaches typing. I have no idea. I don't know. I know they put out a series of educational NES games, but I do not remember any of it.
Luigi's first starring role in a video game, although he was the main character of the 1990 Game Watch game Luigi's Hammer Toss. Yeah. This is Mario is Missing. Kind of like what we had to do in Luigi's Mansion. Where's Mario? Mario!
Yeah, so what happened? Mario. So you had to, what did you do as a player? You had to learn how to do math or some shit? Like that?
Yeah, I think you got to travel the world and return stolen treasures. But yeah, along the way, you got to do... You got to do stuff like matching and, finding things. There might be some math involved, too.
Okay. I'm going to play the only clip I have with Luigi's name in it. Ready?
All right, do it.
Here.
Mama? Mama Luigi?
I don't remember what that was about. Was that like the cartoon? That was the cartoon, I think.
Yeah, I think it was. But yeah, I know anything about Mario is Missing, but as I dove deep into the Radical Entertainment, who gave us our Genesis version of the Beavis and Butthead from 94. I saw they did this and I was like, oh, I don't remember anything about Mario is Missing. And I love Luigi. So it was all up my hoo-ha.
Yeah, that is straight up your hoo-ha. I wish I could find it. I thought I captured him going, Mario, and I don't have it.
Mario.
Let's see. No, that's not it. Hold on. No, that's not it. Just a second. No. No. No.
It's a meme.
No, we know that one.
No. Woojman in the chat room guessed a couple of games, and one of them was correct. Mario is Missing.
Mario is Missing. Okay. Well, there you go. Not available anywhere, I don't think.
Not available anywhere? That's not going to be on that on the Switch online thing.
I mean, I don't think it will be unless it was thought of more highly or something. I don't know.
Right.
Weren't there some educational games that were really big for a while there? Like, the Mavis Beacon stuff. But those aren't really games. They just taught you how to type. Oh, Where in the World is Carmen Sandiego? Those games were education titles. Oh.
Yeah, we've got it. We've actually got to get to that. We're going to definitely do an episode on Carmen Sandiego. Yeah. That is a no-brainer. That was a huge, even in my time, even though it was a little bit, some of it was after my time.
Yeah,
it's a big hit.
People are into that stuff. There's a whole generation of kids who grew up on that shit. Anyway, we'll get to all that at some other time. But for now,
welcome to the Treasure Room.
Email. I got some emails to read. One email in particular. This came to playretroshow@gmail.com. This is from David, who says, hello, I've been listening to the show since it started, and I have been enjoying walking down memory lane with all of these retro games. I've noticed you seem to focus on console games. I'm wondering if you ever considered looking into some of the PC games. Would love to hear your thoughts on the classic Command & Conquer game, especially after listening to the Strike episode where you said they had the best FMVs of the era, to which I respectfully disagree. Thank you for the content and what y'all make, David. And we should have clarified also when we were talking about those cutscenes that we meant console cutscenes.
Right, we meant console cutscenes. Yeah. They're still amazing on their own. They still hold up against anybody anywhere. But you're right.
Yeah,
Command & Conquer has some of the best.
Oh, without a doubt. Video. And Command & Conquer deserves an entire dedicated episode. I would love to get into what happened with Westwood Studios, how that all fell apart at some point, how Blizzard came in and ate their lunch with Warcraft and some of the weirdness that was going on there. It's a very strange era for that developer and where Westwood ended up, which is obliterated. They're not really anything anymore. But at the time, they made the greatest freaking RTS ever made. It was so good.
They really did. And there's so many great PC games. And don't think we've forgotten about the PC games. I've been working hard over the last couple of months trying to make some kind of environment so that I could play at least a majority or at least a large number of PC games. And unless they're ported, over to, like good old games, or maybe Steam has a remaster or something. It's really hard to get PC games, especially in the ones that are like in the 95. Like when they go from DOS, easy to emulate. DOSBox, it exists. There's other things too.
Sure.
But once you get to 95, 98, when you start getting those first couple of years of the DirectX really going full Steam, it really gets complicated. Yeah, and it's all the way up until you get to like Windows XP. So there's like and that's the lion's share of where we play retro most of the time. Yeah. So
complicated era for sure. We can still talk about them even though the stuff's harder to play today. But
yeah,
for sure, we will definitely get into it. And Dice Tomato on the chat says that Blizzard did not eat their lunch. Dude, Blizzard came in with Warcraft, especially 2, and overtook the RTS destroyed that market.
Destroy them with lasers.
And those guys, Westwood scrambled. They were struggling. There's a whole story behind this. They end up selling themselves to EA to their detriment.
Right.
It's what killed them in the end. Like a lot of devs that get bought by EA, got chewed up and spit out. There's a whole thing with that. We'll get into all of it. I was playing those games right up until Tiberian Sun. But by then, Warcraft had already done it. They'd already done it.
Yeah.
And guess who's still making Warcraft games? And I'm not the biggest Blizzard fan these days, but one of those companies is still making games. And Warcraft is that. True. So Just saying.
And luckily, Command and Conquer is a big enough franchise and has went on long enough that there's been remasters and, you know, there's ways to play that game. So
yeah, the remasters,
that's definitely in our future.
Remasters out now, I think. Right.
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
And they took all the old video and like did some like AI uprising and stuff.
Yep. Yep. Yep.
Because they didn't have the original masters and stuff. So they had to use AI to do it. And it looks amazing.
Which, of course, means Brian got to dig through the archives and find the original so I can look at it in full ass mode.
Yeah, I got to see it in ass mode. You're right.
Yeah, so I can compare.
Remastered Collection. Is this on Steam? It is. Let me just see what this goes for these days. Well, this sold pretty well, at least Steam numbers.
Yeah.
Let's see. $19.99 is all. And, it looks good compared to the old ones. Wow.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
It's just up-res sprites and stuff, but... What? Why isn't Mark Jamison Shepard replaced with Jordan Peterson? What does that even mean?
Uh-oh. Scott's getting about to head down a rabbit hole. Speaking of games you can't hardly find anymore, just about all those games, those Beavis and Butthead games we talked about today are abandonware. So you can find them at archive.org or myabandonware.com, I think it is, something like that. So there's plenty of ways to get those ROMs because nobody's really... watching them.
No, you're absolutely
they've just been abandoned.
You're absolutely right. Someone in the chat says, I wonder if any of these RTS games work well on the Steam Deck. They work. I don't know if I'd say well, because the Steam Deck's got these two, you know, you got your two thumb pads, right? These two things here. They act as mice, basically. Sort of an extension of what they tried to do with the Steam controller years ago. And they work. They totally work. Do they work great? And would you prefer them over a mouse? No.
And you can plug in a keyboard and mouse,
right?
That kind of takes the portability out of it, right?
It does. If you're on a long trip though, and you got a little Bluetooth keyboard and mouse or something, totally fine. You can totally do that. That would work. All right, that's it for emails. Thanks for the email. And yes, we're gonna. In fact, next week we're getting all into it. Commodore 64 top five. That's a computer. That's a PC.
It is a PC, and I picked it because I knew that it's kind of like, once again, it's kind of a closed system. It's like, oh, it's 64. It was around for a really long time. Games were being developed for this thing actively for at least 10 years. There's still people making the games for it, but really it's active life. It's really long. Mm-hmm. And it's tons of games, 10,000 games or something like that.
Yeah,
so,
there's a lot.
And we're most only going to pick five.
Yeah, many are bad. Many are terrible and not worth bringing up.
Many are horrible.
It's going to be
great. But you may hear of a few things. We haven't definitely determined the exact top five because we don't want to spoil it, but there may be a Turrican in there that people seem to love. Maybe some international karate, those kind of games. But if you have your favorite, maybe you can talk us into something else. But we have a list. We don't want to spoil it here. But
I don't see Hard Hat Mac on this list, so there's going to be trouble.
We'll see. Yeah. We'll just have to. we're going to wing it.
We're going to wing it for sure. So that's next week. Commodore 64, Play Retro, top five, and that list will. What I'm looking at here is probably going to get tweaked. We'll see.
Yeah.
We don't know. But that'll be fun. I'm looking forward to that. That's going to be great. So come on back for that. We'll do that next week. And in the meantime, I'd like everybody who can hear me, who has not yet joined our Patreon, at the very least, go look at it and decide whether it's for you. Okay? Because we got cool benefits and you get to support your favorite show. Why wouldn't you want to do that? You know?
Yeah, why not? No commercials ever.
Well, yeah, why not love the one you're with or something? Why not be like the following people? I swear, Seb signs up for everything.
Seb is the greatest.
He is the greatest. Seb's on here.
The greatest.
Cologne Brothers also on here. Oh, no, I'm sorry. Oolong Brothers, not Cologne.
Oh, I like Cologne Brothers. They smell great.
Yep. Sensei's on here. Justin McDonald. Why did I say McLeod? I don't know.
There can only be one, though.
There can only be one. Anyway, if you want to be like them, go check it out. You'll never get a commercial or an ad of any kind. You'll get pre-show content every week. You get monthly benefits. There's no reason not to join. So head on over now to patreon.com/playretro and sign up today. playretroshow@gmail.com is that email address once again. PlayRetroShow on Twitter. And everything else is at frogpants.com/playretro. Brian, do you have anything to add before we go today?
Why? Why Commodore 16? Live.
Live 16.
I'm going to get you a motivator unit, I promise.
You can do. Look, you don't want that red one. You're going to put him in a chemical bath and suddenly it speaks 10,000 languages. I'm excited for you. That'll do it for us. Listen, this is what I want you to do. Between now and the next time we see you all, go play something retro. We'll see you next time.
Be retro.
This show is part of the Frog Pants Network. Yes. Get more at frogpants.com.
Jeez.
That is so terrible. I love it.
It's really bad, man.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.